Hello, it is August 14th, 2017. You are looking live at Athens, Georgia. This is episode 656 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on Sports on Earth. I am the aforementioned Will Leach, and I think you are spending part of your day with me. I have missed Allison Futter. She's been gone. I've been talking to other people. I apologize, Allison. I'm back to you, the person I always want to talk to the most. How are you?
I bet you say that to all your guests.
That's totally not true. Like I had Petri all on last year, and I wish I were talking to Allison, man. I'm sorry. I just got to be honest with you, Petriello. I wish I were talking to Allison. So one of the reasons that we missed you is that you were in Cooperstown. How was it? I assume it was just it had to have been better because Pete Rose wasn't there. I think it's one of the few times he's not actually, and I think he's obviously in a pretty dark place right now. It was a much happier experience, a happier thing. It seemed to be a good-hearted thing. Did you have a good time?
I did. You know, it's funny because the only two times Pete hasn't been there are the two times I have been in there. So I've been there.
Oh,
I was
you.
There for Biggio, and I was there for this one for Bagwell. So Biggio's year was the year that Pete was trying to curry favor with the new commissioner. And so he was trying to lay low and not doing it because he was applying for reinstatement with Rob Manfred for the first time. So he stayed away that year. But yeah, let's not talk about Pete.
This year was a darker reason.
Right. And yes, exactly. You know, it's funny because when you hire somebody like Pete Rose, you're kind of asking for this stuff to happen. So
A-Rod didn't do that. You got to give A-Rod, but like A-Rod is now the most upstanding member on the Fox Sports crew. And now he remains so. So, you know, I'm always trying to defend A-Rod to you. So I feel like obliged to do so. But how was Cooperstown?
I'm not even going to go.
Yeah. Let's move on from that. Yes. How was Cooperstown?
So Cooperstown was awesome. It was really good. It was a smaller crowd than it was 2 years ago. It was actually one of their smaller crowds. But there were a ton of Astros fans there as expected. And, it was just a wonderful weekend. The weather was great. There was all the living Hall of Famers come back. It's a very festive atmosphere. I love Pudge Rodriguez's, speech. I mean, I'm biased, so I thought Bagwell's speech was awesome and beautiful. We were all, real happy with how it turned out. And of course, when you know all the people that he's thanking, all the clubhouse guys and the trainers and, you know, all the people no one's heard of, yeah, that's really special for those of us who have been around the player for most of his career and are friends with a lot of these people. So that was great. Pudge's, I thought, was funny. He was talking about, you know, his son as a toddler and infant or whatever, like peeing on Ken Griffey Jr. and he just seemed really moved. He was crying the whole time. And Tim Raines, while his speech went on a little bit too long, but it was nice to see him go in as the last Expo who will be inducted in the Hall of Fame. So John Schuerholz being just a tremendous person, great executive, has been great for the game. It was just a good weekend. It's one of those feel good weekends where there's no baseball games going on. So no one's stressed out. No one's under any kind of pressure. All the storylines are fantastic. Claire Smith, I got to cover her, getting the, Spink Award, and that was a thrill. And it's just a wonderful weekend. So I'm glad I was there.
Yeah. And, it's funny, you know, there was some discussion that day about whether or not baseball should like not have games that day and people would appreciate the Hall of Fame thing more. I have to say, I feel like I'd rather see games than, you know, I'd rather games not stop for like a thing at a museum, like a first ceremony museum. And I say that if I were there, I would love it. But for me as a baseball fan, I want to watch baseball. Like I would love to go to Cooperstown at some point and see this. I'm sure my family has talked about when Albert Pujols goes in, that would be likely the time that we would go, or if Yadier Molina goes in, or, you know, if I think Pete Cosma's got a chance. If Pete Cosma makes it in, I think Pete Cosma will be the guy we go see. But whoever it is, I've not been in a long time. I'd love to go, but I'm glad they don't cancel baseball games that day or make it for a weekend where there's no baseball at all. There's still, like, it's a fun thing to do. It's a cool thing. We all can appreciate it. Bagwell, a guy that had to wait longer than he should have in the first place. Everyone there, I like it when everybody there really seems like deeply appreciative of the process. I always think of the example I always use, this is Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame speech, where Michael Jordan just went up and said, you know who I'm mad at? Everyone. And I'm going to list them now. And so to see like people like appreciative, it really was like kind of a warm experience. And it's, you know, it's one of those things that I'm always wary of baseball focusing too much on its past. It should concentrate in the future. But this is a really great thing to let these guys have their day, have them all kind of celebrate, and then we can go back to the games.
Well, yeah, and it's cool because there's so many things that are like these like ceremonial things. So after the induction ceremony ends, then they transport the plaques over to the plaque gallery at the Hall of Fame, and they install them, and it's just like big deal. You know, there's, you know, a handful of fans that are there watching. There are probably 36 fans there that are watching, and it's just hilarious because the people from the Hall of Fame said it reminded me of the Lion King when I don't remember the names of all these characters, but he was holding up his newborn lion son. So they bring in the first plaque, and they hold it up to the crowd. Then they turn it around and hold it up to the fans on the other side. And then they come over and there's like the official installer guy with the official drill that officially puts it up on the wall. So I was tasked with actually covering this, you know, shooting video of this. And Jesse Sanchez, my good friend, who used to cover the Rangers, and has spent part of his life growing up in Dallas. And so the two of us are there and we're covering this. And so they install, we were like the biggest dorks in the world. I'm like, okay. Like as soon as they got the Bagwell one up, then that was the last one. And then they were going to let the fans come in and like take their pictures and everything. I'm like, all right, as soon as this installer guy walks away, like we're going to get our pictures taken under the plaque. I'm under Bagwell. You're under Pudge. And then we're going to be the first people to ever pose with these plaques. And we're going to put them on Facebook and we're going to make it official. As soon as the guy walks away, you know, they have to like vacuum because there's a mess that's made. And we were like so frantic to get this thing done, and we got it done. And so now I'm the loser who on my Facebook page is standing underneath the Bagwell plaque, and that will be like my claim to fame for the rest of my life.
There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. All right, we have a lot of baseball to talk about because a lot's happened since we talked last. I'm going to do my absolute best to hold off on discussing the Cardinals' insane 8-game win streak that came out of nowhere until the end of the podcast. To me, I wrote this morning for Sports on Earth about the Angels. The wild card race is I wrote last week about how crazy the AL wild card race was, and even that I had to like cut off teams. I'd be like, well, like, we probably shouldn't include Minnesota because they traded guys. We probably shouldn't include Texas because they traded guys. Toronto's clearly done. Like, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 teams within 4 games of the 2 wild card spots, and the craziest team for me out of all of them, even though Minnesota traded their closer, and the Texas traded guys, traded Darvish, obviously. To me, the fact that the Angels are in the second wildcard spot, I've kind of broke through their team. They basically have two players, obviously Trout, who missed 2 months, and Andrelton Simmons, who's not really kind of appreciated how amazing of a season he's had. I know we always kind of debate or discuss WAR on this podcast, but like, Fangraphs WAR actually has him, Baseball Reference WAR actually has him above Trout. Fangraphs does not, and would not if it didn't have him 2 months out. But each of them have those two players as 10 of the best players in the American League, which is really kind of astounding. And then everybody else is terrible. And I don't mean to imply that the bullpen is not very good. Albert Pujols, I went and looked, and speaking of WAR again, there are 1,178 players who have had one at-bat in the major leagues this year. Pujols in WAR is 1,177th. Only Carlos Gonzalez is actually below him on this list. There was a piece that Halo's Heaven wrote a while back about how awful he's been this year. I had not realized how bad he was. That was in July. He's been worse in August. Here's my favorite stat about Pujols is August. He has no walks. Albert Pujols has not walked once in August. That is just amazing. The rotation is terrible. The best rotation guys I got, the Orioles traded to them because everybody gets great when they leave the Orioles. But this team, they have a really good defense, and Trout and Simmons and nobody else. And they hold the wild card right now because they've won 6 in a row. When you look at these teams, Angels, Twins, Royals, Mariners, Rays, Yankees, Rangers, even the Blue Jays if you want, do you see any of them you think that, well, I guess the Yankees would be the most likely one, but for the second spot, a team that just jumps out at you is like, wow, this team is the one that's going to make it, or is it just going to be whoever happens to be hot that week?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it's going to come down to, right? Is like whoever can just eke out these wins, maybe the team that has like the least challenging schedule, maybe the last week of the season. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, I'm looking like the Rays are now under 500 again. The Twins are a couple of games over. The Royals are playing without Sal Perez, and it's starting to show that they're not very good without Sal Perez. So I guess when you're a team like the Angels, you're like, well, why not? I mean, we're not very good, but none of the teams that we're competing against for these wild card spots are very good either. That has been the theme, by the way, of the entire season is, hey, there's four really good teams in baseball. Then and everybody ranges from kind of sucking to maybe not sucking as much as some of the other teams. And so that's really funny because I was just laughing at Fangraphs for their projections before the season that they were going to win 83 games. I'm like, please. And it sounds like they knew what they were talking about.
Yeah, that was like the favorite baseball prospectus one when everyone was just appalled that they had the Dodgers as 8 games better than the Cubs. People just could not believe it. And now like they look like they undershot them a little bit. But, you know, and it's funny because I think you're right because I keep looking through. To me, when I look at those teams, the one – I'm putting the Yankees aside, but I think that, you know, they're only a game and a half up on the Angels, by the way, right now. I mean, the idea that the Yankees somehow have a spot secured, I think is not true. But certainly they look to me, when I look at all the teams, the Yankees look like they're better than the rest of them. But when you – and that doesn't mean they'll win. It just looks like they're a team that's better than them. But I can't distinguish from any of them. I thought maybe the Rays, maybe, because the rotation should be good. They've got a lot of offense this year. If you were to nail me down and say it's either who is the actual best team, which is maybe has absolutely nothing to do who will have the best record last month and a half, I feel like maybe it's Tampa Bay, or maybe it was Seattle, but now with Paxton hurt, I don't know if it can be Seattle. I don't know, but I feel like it might as well be the Angels, you know. And the idea, like, wouldn't that it's funny because one of my favorite stats about Trout is he has yet to win a playoff game. And again, this isn't football. Like, you know, it's not like he's Dan Marino or it's like this guy chokes in the clutch. No one's saying that. But he's only played 3 playoffs games in his career, all of which he lost. And so the idea that the Angels have been criticized a bunch for having these great all-time players in his prime and not being able to do anything with him. To me, they've become the team that I'm rooting for, almost in spite of myself, if just to see Trout. But imagine Trout, a New Jersey native, playing at Yankee Stadium in a wild card game. That seems really fun, and it does feel that we should, like, unless there's a reason to root for all these teams. The Twins are young, they're kind of fun. The Royals are making this last run. Seattle's had to wait really long. Baltimore, I'm sure there's a reason to root for Baltimore. And Tampa Bay is kind of a fun team as well. But for me, if I had to, if there's one team now that they've made this run that I might get excited about, I think I'm kind of rooting for the Angels a little bit.
Yeah, just for the – I think for the sole fact that we want to see Mike Trout in the playoffs. And he's been there, what, once in his career? Yeah. And he's the guy that – you know, I mean, there's a lot that's – when you have a talent like his – like him, it's hard to – it is hard to see him play. It's hard to absorb the notion that he might spend his entire career on a team that's really bad, you know, a team that's not going to be in the playoffs. And you hate to see that because of how phenomenally good he is. So, yeah, I think that for the sole reason that it would be very cool. I mean, I think that the, you know, him playing the Yankees, being from there would be, you know, marginally interesting to a handful of people. But I think that the really interesting thing is that the Yankees are really so not very good when Aaron Judge is not producing. And look what's happening since in the second half of the season to what the Yankees, what's happening to the Yankees, what's happening to Aaron Judge. They're going hand in hand. It's really fascinating. And I hate to see it all on his shoulders, but it appears that it is going to be. So, yeah, I mean, I think it'd be cool if Kansas City kind of pulled it out because, you know, we've grown to really kind of know and like them over the past few years. I'm not anxious to see Baltimore in it. And Tampa Bay, I think it would be really cool. I think Kevin Cash is a good manager. I think that'd be super fun. Seattle, just because who doesn't want to go to Seattle in October? That would be fun. But I think that the Angels, just to see him, you know, I see the Angels like possibly like not winning the wild card game or not winning the division series, but just getting Mike Trout into a playoff game would be kind of nice.
This is the last thing I'm going to say on the Angels, and I hate to harp on this because I hope nobody takes this as any sort of anti-Pujols thing, because I think for the first couple of years, the Cardinals fans like myself were kind of frustrated with Pujols and disappointed, and there was a little bit of anger, but I think that really dissipated a couple of years. And he won 2 World Series for the team. He's one of the best Cardinals of all time. No one really, if he's yet to play at Busch Stadium, but if he comes back, I have zero doubt that there he will get a huge ovation. There's no like like big thing against him. So please make I want to be clear. I am not ripping on Albert Pujols. I still have he provided me much joy in my life, and he's by all accounts a wonderful person and a good guy and a future Hall of Famer who I think has inspired a lot of people. But man, oh man, look at his August. In August, in 52 plate appearances, he has one homer, two doubles, no walks. He's batting .212. His on base is .212. He has more double plays than extra base hits. He has it's really just amazing. And it's funny because he's still, you know, he bats third on that team. Like it's Maven, now that Maven's back, it's Trout. And then they still have Pujols batting third. This will come as a shock to you, Allison. Mike Trout has walked 15 times in August because people keep walking the pitch to Pujols. It is absolutely amazing. Like, it's one thing, we all know the guys get older and they slow down a little bit. But generally speaking, you know, superstars tend to age at least a little bit better because they're superstars. And Pujols is just not doing that. And he's still got three more years on that contract. He's gonna make $30 million average the next 3 years. It's a bummer. Like it makes you sad, and it's funny though, because Fangraphs did a piece, Dave Cameron did a piece earlier this year, because when you talk to Angels players, he went and talked to a bunch of Angels players, and he said, how about Pujols, is it hard to see him struggle? And they were like, oh, we don't think he's struggling, he's Albert, he's our leader, he does great. And they actually kind of looked at it, for whatever reason, in high leverage situations, Pujols is a league average hitter. Now, in the first through third innings, or when there's no one on base, he's just so bad. But in high leverage situations, you know, people talk about whether there's clutch or whether there's not clutch, but in high average situations, he's actually an average player. High leverage situation. He's an average player, which is still not great. It's still not Pujols. But the point is his team still is like, that's Albert Pujols right there. He comes through in the clutch. And when he hits home runs, they still look really impressive. But man, so I wonder if it was like 1986 and we weren't using advanced stats, we would just look at his RBIs last year and think that Pujols was still rocking. But now that we know, it's just kind of hard to watch him sometimes.
Well, yeah, I don't have any affinity for him, so I don't have an attachment, so it's not really hard.
Yeah, so you're like, screw him.
Well, it's more just like, this is what's to be expected. This is a guy who's getting older, and it's August, so that kind of goes hand in hand. And yes, while superstar players tend to age a little slower, a little bit more gracefully, but I think if you look at the Augusts of, historically of superstar players, it's probably not that good, because August is the hardest month to get through, and much harder than September when you're in a pennant race. Or any kind of race. So none of this surprises me. And the fact that they've gotten for 4 more years at $30 million is, I don't feel sorry for anybody, because that's their own damn fault for signing him that contract. It was a stupid contract. But the fact that he's not contributing and the Angels are winning is really kind of funny when you have him clogging up the middle of the order and he's really not clogging it up. It's just weird. Baseball's weird.
Baseball's so weird. It's funny when you think about it too, because this, I kind of transition to my next question, because I have a question for you specifically on the American League. Because the American League, as we talked about, there's basically three obviously really good teams. There are the Astros, there are the Red Sox, and there are the Indians who are pulling away in that division, by the way. Remember that they were behind not that long ago. Now they're 4.5 up. Looks like they've had, they're starting to come back around. It feels like the Bruce trade is like I really like that Bruce trade for them, because they don't really need Bruce, but he's going to be really handy. Like just a guy like that.
I disagree. I think they need him. Absolutely.
If everybody's healthy, they don't need him, but until everybody's healthy.
They have not had a good offense this year. I mean, that's the thing. They've had times when they've been good, but they struggled. Like the first 2.5 months of the season, they still hadn't gotten their offense going. I think that you put that guy in the middle, I think it changes the way everybody else gets pitched to. He's a left-handed batter. I think that was a key trade. I think that they absolutely need him in that lineup. There's a lot of great names in the lineup. There's a lot of potential. There's a lot of history of guys that have been very effective. But if you look at what they've actually been doing, it's not been that great.
Yeah. And obviously with Brantley being hurt, they needed someone. And I guess if Brantley comes back and is healthy, maybe you're always going to find a place for Jay Bruce. There's no question about
that.
Yes, you're always going to find a place to him. So I think that's true. And it's funny that, you know, we've talked about this all year about how the Indians and the Cubs also seem to like almost have like a hangover from last season, kind of struggle a little bit and kind of waiting for them to get together. We'll talk in a moment whether the Cubs have. But the Indians clearly, now it looks like they're going to win. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if they win this division by 10 games now. They're 4.5 up now. There's a month and a half to go. Maybe Minnesota and Kansas City are inspired by the wild card race, but Cleveland, I can totally see them running away with it. Which brings me to the next question. Who of those three teams, Boston, Cleveland, or, and I want you to talk about this, Houston, who's really been struggling, particularly pitching lately, who do you think is actually the best team?
Boston. I think Boston's the best team. I think they have a better, I like their pitching more. And I think that they just have a more, their bullpen has been really good. It's not that the Astros have been doing a lot of things really, really well. But there's also like so many things that could go wrong there. And I don't know with Boston, I don't know. Boston's had their issues too, but a lot of whining behind the scenes. There's been just a lot of like stupid things that have happened to the Red Sox. But as far as their actual team goes, they're pretty good. I just think that like heading into October, I just think that Boston's going to have a much better September. And I think that they're probably the best team in the American League.
Yeah, I think they're the best team too. It's funny how recently they were the embarrassment and David Price was making everybody angry. And there was discord behind the scenes. I can never quite tell. It's Boston. So I never know how much of that is just Boston media people being insane. I say that out of love for the Boston, but it's an intense market. And sometimes it gets a little riled up sometimes. And sometimes, like, I always wonder if you put the exact same roster that Boston had, remember this happened with the Lackey teams. And there was drama before that. And it feels like, I wonder if you put the Boston roster in like Cleveland, I wonder if we'd think there was a lot of drama. Is probably the best way to put that. But
no, a lot of that stuff would be ignored. David Price brought that all on himself.
Yeah, Price has his own. Like, the minute Price touched Eckersley, he lost so sympathy. I mean, even if you wanted to give the benefit of the doubt to Price, after the Eckersley thing, it was really hard to.
Yeah, they all came off as being little whiny babies. And certainly treating Eckersley as if he hasn't been there before is so stupid.
Yeah, he's literally a Hall of Famer.
I was sitting in Cooperstown when they do the big introduction of all the Hall of Famers. They all come out, at the very beginning of the ceremony. And I'm just like laughing. I'm like, Dennis Eckersley, he's seen a few things in his career, in his life. So, yeah, they just all, it's like they just personified the stereotypical clueless current major leaguer who has absolutely no awareness of anything else going on around them before, after, or during, and that the world is solely focused on them. And really David Price, I mean, he started this whole thing by yelling at some of the local media people about stupid things that really didn't matter. And so when you have something like that, and that becomes news, right? So last year, I don't even know if anybody knows that this, like, Dallas Keuchel, before it kind of came out that he was hurt, he was in the clubhouse, and somebody, one of the local reporters, had written that he had lost a couple of miles an hour on his fastball. And Keuchel, it was after a game, and I think it was after a win, and it wasn't even a game that Keuchel pitched, but he like called him out. He was like, "Hey, so and so, oh really?" Just kind of being a jerk, and it was kind of awkward, and it was really unnecessary. It was very unprofessional, Dallas Keuchel. I don't even think it was ever mentioned. in Houston, it just is something that happens, but it's nothing. If that had been Boston, then every columnist would have been all over it. It would have been, it would have been big news. So yeah, David Price, I think that he learned a little bit of a lesson on what it's like in Boston.
Yeah, should have signed with St. Louis. He'd have been a lot happier. Speaking of St. Louis, transition. The Cardinals somehow, amazingly, out of nowhere, this team is incredibly frustrating, annoying team. Suddenly, after apparently, people are saying it was rally cat. By the way, the most 2017 Cardinals thing ever was that they had this incredible rally cat. What a wonderful opportunity. A rally cat comes on the field and Yadier Molina, one of the most popular Cardinals of all time, hits a grand slam with it on the very next pitch. Rally cat, yay! Cut to, we lost rally cat. We do not know what rally cat is. We dropped off rally cat. Someone picked him up and let him go. He could have been hit by a car. There, we lost rally cat. Sorry. Anyway, go Cardinals. And so eventually they apparently found rally cat like 2 days later. There was a very 2017 Cardinals thing to have this big thing that everyone inspired by, and then they lost it.
That's just a very Cardinals thing. We'll the Cardinals PR 101. Anyway, go on.
Yep. You are preaching to the choir, my friend.
Yep.
We can bring it out sports, but I think we all know what we're talking about that as well. Anyway, so but the thing about the Cardinals is all of a sudden out of nowhere, after apparently a team dinner, Chronicle of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, that in Cincinnati, it was a great steakhouse. I'd actually been to the steakhouse in Cincinnati, and it is quite good. The Precinct is, I think, is what it's called. It's
delicious.
Good. And yes. they had a big team dinner there. And since then, they all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they took off and won 8 in a row. They won 4. These were not incredible teams they were playing. They won 2 at Cincinnati, 4 against Kansas City, and then 2 against Atlanta. But they got hot at the right time. Not only did they get hot at the right time, they started hitting. This has been the frustrating thing with this team all year. Dexter Fowler came back. Tommy Pham's been great all year. Paul DeJong is a rookie that's kind of come out of nowhere. And it's funny because there was this weird turn, because now the Cubs won on Sunday and the Cardinals lost. So the Cubs are back to one game up. The Cardinals were briefly the mathematical tie for first place in the NL Central. With the injury to Wilson Contreras for the Cubs, I actually had Cubs fans say, "We knew it. This was we knew it. You guys are going to be up by 5 games in September." I'm like, oh my God. I thought the fatalism of Cubs fans was gone. I thought once you won the World Series, that was over. I'm happy with the run. I think the Cubs losing Contreras is a bad thing for them. I still think the Cubs are going to win this division. I think they may still win the division by 3 or 4 games.
Are you saying that because you're just trying to have like the reverse effect? Or are you...
No.
Really?
No, I do believe that. I do think, like, the Cardinals got hot for like 8 games against weak pitchers, and everybody got hot at the right time. This is still a team that has a very weak offense, and the reason the Cardinals' offense was supposed to work this year was Matt Carpenter and Dexter Fowler were supposed to bat 1-2 in the order, and they're supposed to have 380, 390 OBPs, and then they were going to have power after them. And all of those, Stephen Piscotty, who was like supposed to be the star hitter, is in AAA right now, and he's not hurt, you know. And Tommy Pham has ended up being their best outfielder, and it's just, to me, this feels like a team like Yadier Molina. Everybody loves him. He's batting 5th. Like Yadier Molina needs to probably not be the 5th hitter on this team. This is still a team, as I said in a previous podcast, this is still a team that is built to be supportive of a superstar but doesn't have a superstar. So whereas the Cubs have several. And I still feel like the Cardinals may have a better rotation than the Cubs. I still feel like the Cubs are a better team. Do you, or are you, or are you in the Cubs, there's still something wobbly about the Cubs camp?
Yeah. I mean, I think that not having Contreras for a while is going to hurt them. Mm-hmm. I think that they're a good team. But I'm overthinking that they're like this dominant juggernaut that has yet to emerge, and that they're just going to go gangbusters in the last 2 months of the season. I mean, I'm kind of over that. So, I think that that's the one way that the Cardinals catch them, not because the Cardinals are so great, but just because the Cubs aren't great. And so you have a Cubs team that's supposed to be great and isn't, and you have a Cardinals team that was supposed to be pretty good and still could be. And I just think that it could really go neck and neck down to the wire. I don't think that the Cubs are going to pull away with this.
I think we'll have a pretty good idea, frankly, by Friday, because the Cubs have 4 games at home against the Reds, who are basically Joey Votto and let's just go home. All right, now their pitching is just terrible at this point. They have 4 games home against them. The Cardinals are off on Monday, and they have 2 at Fenway. Just randomly, the Cardinals have 2 at Fenway this week, and then 4 against Pittsburgh. To me, we'll check in a week. My guess, because the Cubs play the Blue Jays as well this weekend. Cubs have two last place teams this week, and the Cardinals are on the road to Boston and Pittsburgh. If the Cardinals are still within 1 game when we talk, if we talk, 1 week from today, then I will be a believer. But I think it's more likely the Cubs will be up 3 or 4 games, and then there'll be some breathing room. FanGraphs, percentage-wise, actually think the Cardinals are more likely to win the wild card than the NL Central, which I found kind of strange, but I guess it makes a little bit sense. The Cardinals are only 4.5 games behind Arizona and Colorado, so that's not that far. And obviously they have more faith in the Cubs than they do with those teams, particularly Colorado. I still feel like Colorado is a team that can be caught. I don't know if the Cardinals are the team that will do it, but I think they're a team that could be caught. But I'm just impressed I went this long. My last question for you, talking about the Cardinals, what's going on with the Astros? Are they okay? Is this just August? Are they going to be all right, or is this something to be worried about?
They're going to be all right for the regular season. And when Correa got hurt, McCullers is out, Keuchel missed time, Gattis has been out, Springer missed time, Will Harris is out for a while. He's coming back. So when you look at the roster, it's constructed right now, it's a .500 team, which is kind of what they've been playing for the last month. They've been really crappy recently. And it's just so funny because you're like, well, they're going to Chicago and playing the White Sox. They'll be fine there. And of course, okay, so they get swept. The Nationals are coming in next week. They'll probably sweep the Nationals because nothing makes sense this season with anybody. But really what's going on is that they're just not playing at full strength and they're not a great team right now. It doesn't matter because they're not going to lose the division. Now, when you get into the postseason, the moves that were made at the deadline were moves to help these teams in October. The Dodgers certainly didn't need Yu Darvish for September or to win the division. And there were just a lot of things. So the Astros are going to go into the playoffs hoping to do what they've done all season to win all these games, and that is mash and just beat everybody with your offense when your pitching is just, you know, okay. The bullpen's been very good. One of the best bullpens in the second half. But and so that's like a really dangerous strategy, quite frankly, because you don't face a lot of bad pitching in October. You face some bad pitching. Some guys have off nights. There have been some high scoring games in October, but not a ton. And so you need to have your pitching at full strength. And even when these guys are at full strength, I'm just not sure they're that good. So, yeah, everyone's like, hey, they have 72 wins. Hey, they have a double-digit lead in the division. And I don't begrudge them that, and I don't deny that. That's very true. But when you get into October, it's a totally different animal. And it comes down to bullpens and defense and trying to get some key hits at key moments. And I don't know. What do you think? I mean, it's like the Astros are, they could get swept in the division series or they could win the pennant. It could go either way.
Yeah, if I'm the Astros, I agree. I obviously have that big lead in the division. I worry a little bit. There are 5 games up on Boston right now. If Boston catches them, I'm sure Houston would much rather play, say, whoever wins the wild card, whether it's the Yankees or any of that scrum, because none of those teams have great pitching, and so they'll just be able to knock them around, than playing Cleveland, who has really good starting pitching. To me, that's the thing with Houston. I know it's home field advantage. It's not so much home field advantage. It's just if you can face a team with bad pitching, if you're Houston, you can totally mash them around. But Corey Kluber, as good as Houston's hitters are, he can shut them down. And that's exactly what you're wanting to avoid.
Yeah, and they've been terrible against Cleveland, and they're very worried about it. They don't match up well against them. They've been worried about that since they played them for the second series during the regular season. That's the thing. It's like stunning to see that Boston is gaining on them for the best record in the American League. And the Astros are still far from having everybody back. I mean, Correa's still got a couple weeks, and there's just some things that still have to be fixed before they're going to be playing at full strength. And so, while 2 months ago I was like, well, the Astros are going to have, home field advantage right up until the World Series. It's going to be very relaxing. They're going to sit at home and wait for the wild card game to be played. Then they're going to host the division series. Like, everything is going to be fine. It's getting a little bit different. And that's where I really am a big believer in the teams, the veteran teams, the teams that have been there, that have done this before, that have that extra something that get through August and September better than some of the other teams that had these great first halves. And so when you get teams like Boston and Cleveland, the Yankees even a little bit, but teams that just get what that down the stretch means, have a lot easier time, quite frankly, down the stretch. And I think that could definitely factor in.
All right, well, it'll be really fun. We'll check back in a week and see if the Cardinals are, if my Cardinals are 5 games back, because they might be. But I think you're right. This is going to be fun. Like, that's the thing. Even in August, and you're right. You're right about August for baseball players. You are right about August for people. I am ready for this month to be over. We're only halfway through this month, and I can't believe August. Slate, I think I mention this every year. Slate wrote a great piece a few years ago. Ban August. Get rid of August. August is nothing but bad. Let's get rid of August. I say 11 months and just add 2 days or 3 days, probably 3 days.
It's 11 months. Well, yeah, it's also like just the weather. I mean, it's, 96 in Houston. It kind of saps you of your energy. And it's so funny because all through my years of covering baseball, working in baseball, one of my favorite things to do in September is that first road trip that I take to a cooler weather city where the fall weather has kicked in, you know, because we're still like months away from that in Houston. So I'll go to like Pittsburgh and I'll get that first pumpkin spice latte from Starbucks like on September 17th. Yes, yes. And I'll be like, oh, you know, the postseason's coming, the crisper air, it's all good. And August, you're just like, ugh.
Get this away.
Yes, go away, August.
All right. Well, Allison, as always, I'm sorry it's been so long. I'm glad you were in Cooperstown. I'm envious to get to be there. And as I said, when Pete Cosmo makes it to the Hall of Fame, I'll make sure to make the trip out there.
Well, yeah, I've always said, like, this is our last hurrah, guys, until 2037 with Altuve. So let's make it a good one.
Derek Bell's going to get in, right? Operation shutdown. Operation shutdown.
Everyone's like, hey, what about Roger Clemens? I'm like, he's not going in an Astro, and he is not my problem.
Yeah, Boom. Exactly. He's someone else's issue. All right, Allison, as always, make sure to follow Allison on Twitter at AlysonFootter. I believe, depending on what whether our producer, Danny Wexelman, was able to have time to do it, because she's one of the busiest people I know on the planet. Yes. But we have new music for the podcast. If you can believe that, after 4 years, the music, if you hopefully you heard a new song at the beginning of this podcast. It's The Danger Zones by the Haraway Brothers, who is basically the same band of the Sundogs who did the song before. So if you like that song, they have an album, The Haraway Brothers Wish You Love and Luck in the World. Like me, I also wish you love and luck in the world, America. So I hope you enjoyed that song, enjoyed this podcast. We'll be back with Allison very soon. Otherwise, rate and review the podcast on iTunes. We'll be back later this week. I believe we have a show later this week where we will be coming Monday, I believe, our big annual Andy Barron's Fantasy Football Podcast. I think this is the fifth annual, if you can believe that, where we go through and prepare you for your fantasy football drafts, because it's that time of year to be soulless about sports. All right. Have a wonderful week, Allison. Be safe. We will talk next week. Thanks. Bye. Bye, everyone.